96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio in the AM. Today is Monday, October 3rd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a discussion on what on earth is happening in Abaco. Man, we have politicians making all kind of noise and up in arms. We have the COI touring the island and taking pictures. We also have Kai videotaping the sites, you know? And again, what's happening with the injunction? Is that still a thing? But before we even get into all of that, because that's the other side of the show, that's the other segment, we have representatives from the Chipman family. We have Mitzi.
Morning.
And we have Fontella.
Good morning, Bahamas.
And they are hosting another event. I think this is the fourth year they are hosting a Reason to Rush, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, the Reason to Rush. This is a big time event, actually. And they used to put it on every year until COVID hit and, you know, you had a two-year break. But it's going to be happening again on October 5th, which is a couple of days ago.
It's that's on Wednesday, actually.
This Wednesday?
Wednesday.
And I want to remind people, what is the Reason of Rush is, first of all, right? So we establish that. Whose is an honor to? History of it, right? So we can remind us so we can start celebrating for you. Because this Wednesday, right, I know where I'm going to be. I'll let you even explain the location for that, right?
Okay.
So go ahead. What is the Reason of Rush?
Let me tell you what a Reason to Rush is. I think it was about, I don't know how long ago, but our family came together and we thought about, first of all, how can we remember the past entertainers? How can we remember their contribution to what they have done for our country in terms of the tourism market, but also their contribution in terms of how they have shifted our culture, how they've defined the Bahamian culture by their contribution? And so we thought there got to be a way that we remember these people, you know. As far as we know, entertainers are not in our history books. You don't hear about them. You know, you might come by them by chance, or the greats, Charles Carter, who made, you know, the past entertainers so relevant. So we decided that we will have a celebration. And this celebration will be done on Daddy's birthday, which is October 5th.
So that's why it's every year is held on October 5th?
On his birthday, on October 5th. Now, we needed a name for it. And so we thought about it. What is it that Bahamians love to do to celebrate? And what is it that we do and we just get excited for? And that's to rush. We want to rush. So what is our reason to rush? And hence the name was created, A Reason to Rush. And now we rush to celebrate great entertainers like my grandfather, John Chippy Chipman, Ronnie Butler, Count Bernardino, the greats, you know, every year. And we do it on his birthday. We just come alive with their memories and all their contributions. And that's how it was started.
Let me speak to Mitzi. And your whole family does entertainment. You know,
yes,
you all celebrate and you all promote Bahamian culture.
Yes.
Right? And I want to know, what should Bahamians expect when they come out to this event this Wednesday? Today's Monday, then
right,
there's Tuesday, and this is Wednesday. And I want to know the time. Go ahead.
Yes.
Fontelle, tell me
well,
the
time is 4 to 9.
4 to 9. Now, just to make sure.
Yeah, 4 to 9. It's going to just come on out after work. You know, it's going to be early night. We expect the junket to be moving through at 9 o'clock sharp, so it's not going to be late. So come on out after work. It's going to be, you know, we're going to have it tight and we'll be moving through.
So get back to Mitzi now. What to expect? I mean, I'm excited just to go because I know you all do good events. So what do I expect when I come out there?
Listen to Fontella just now. It reminds me that even if I remember Daddy touching a lot of children with his drums. If you have one of Daddy's drums, if your child has a drum, come on out. We don't want them to forget what culture is all about. And we will be giving you a taste of Bahamian culture, nothing else but Bahamian. And that's what we want to promote. We want to promote everything that is Bahamian because we are losing what is about being Bahamian. So we want to keep that going.
So Wednesday, when you come out, you'll be seeing fire dance. You'll be surprised to know how many children have never seen a limbo dance show.
Nice.
Or a fire dance show. You'll be surprised. Even a gombe routine, you know.
So have you seen
a gombe routine?
No, I've seen fire dance now.
Right.
But not a gombe routine.
Right. Have you seen that? And that gombe is ours, that we created gombe. Mm-hmm. That's not something that we could say, even with Junkanoo, we could say that it's over the exploration of the Caribbean, per se. We have our own definition of how we celebrate and do Junkanoo.
Yes.
And we know it derived from our African ancestors, but gombe is something that we created here. Our Bahamians created that sound, my grandfather with that sound, and of course the brainchild of Maureen Devalier, Abby Lafleur, my grandmother Becky, Oliver Chipman, created the dance moves to that sound. So gombe is truly ours. So like Mitzi said, our family is so ingrained in this, and sometimes I believe it's in our DNA because all of us, we're just so passionate about this country, what it means to us as a people, and our obligation to continue the legacy of what our forefathers have done. So for me, when you come out there, we want you to just come and commune, just come and be Bahamian, just relax, listen to the songs, the music is just Bahamian. We don't want nothing else. What you see on that stage is Bahamian. We don't want nothing else. What you eating out there better be Bahamian. We don't want nothing else. And Mitzi spoke about Daddy's drum. If you have a chippy drum and he has that sign, please bring it out. You can win a prize. If you have a Reason to Rush shirt from the previous years, bring it out. You could win a prize. Wear it that night. You can win a prize. And we're also giving out drums that Daddy signed years ago. Mm-hmm. So he made a lot of kids' drums, and he signed them years ago. So we'll be giving them out to little kids because, you know, that's what my grandfather was all about. It was about passing on this culture to the younger generation. And we want parents to bring their kids out. Come and get a chippy drum. Save it. It's historic. I mean, you know, he was passionate about what he do.
I'm excited, but you have so far, you haven't told me where it's going to be.
Oh, it's going to be on the Chipman Estates.
The Chipman Estates, yes. And where is that exactly?
That is West Bay Street, you know, almost opposite Fish Fry, but right on the corner that goes to Industrial Garden.
That's where the big mansion used to be.
That's it, the home of my great-grandfather, H.N. Chipman. We have it there every year, and we do it there because my grandfather wished that we do it there.
Mm-hmm.
That was his home. That's where he lived with his father. And so we celebrate him, we celebrate that Chipman legacy, and we celebrate the Bahamian legacy on that land.
And you mentioned Chipman legacy. I'm assuming all of the Chipmans going to be out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I know Ms. Ustan is
Metellus.
Yes. My wife's seen him do that Obia dance thing, and usually I got to pull her out. Because no, you're getting too excited. So I'm assuming, because you know when I come and I bring her, assuming that he's going to be out there and doing that dance.
Man, what?
So definitely she's going to have a treat then.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know, Nuri, it's amazing because you see this young lady on the side of me.
Mm-hmm.
The ideas that she comes up with in terms of our culture and how we can preserve it and what we can do to make sure it's sustainable is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she created the Obey Man.
Oh, she did?
Her son. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. He came home and she created that idea. And when he came home, she said, I need you to dance this dance for me. And Metellus will be talking about it because we have a whole interview that we have done with children of former entertainers who are continuing the legacy. And we'll be playing it out there that night. And so when he came home, she told him exactly the idea and what it is she wanted. And he just brought her ideas to life.
It's beautiful. And let me tell you, see him perform, you feel the culture.
You feel it. Yes. And that's the DNA, I think, that the Chipman family have brought to this life of entertainment. We saw the passion that my grandmother had in her performances. I remember Sir Charles Carter saying, when she danced, it was almost like you're in another place because the passion. Metellus shows that same, he exudes that same passion or that depth that my grandmother used to show when she did the fire dance. He shows that. And the whole Chipman family expresses that. You know, that's why culture is so passionate. You know, it's so it's something that we hold dear to us.
And I know Mitzi from the cabaret.
That's right.
That's a different era
that's
altogether,
a whole
right?
Different
so I'm
era.
Assuming that you can have some dances there.
Well, we
do. You dance for
oh,
talent?
Yeah.
You so you could be theory, dancing.
What kind of question that is?
I
you know what I mean?
And when I hear that drum, I have to dance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like an automatic thing. Let me tell you a little secret. Let me story about Metellus and the Obeah Man dance. Tony McKay died mm-hmm. that year. Mm-hmm. And I said, Metellus, this music is too sweet mm-hmm. to die. Mm-hmm. So we mm-hmm. need to come up with something to create with that. So that's how that happened when Tony McKay died.
Mm-hmm. So Metellus is now the new Obeah Man. When you call a name,
that's
you,
right.
you conjure
like
up
you
his image. Yeah, you conjure up his image. So, but this also is, besides telling history and stories, mm-hmm. that's going to be happening out there too. Right, and commemorating the various artists. This is also an honoring system. Who right. do you plan to honor on this day?
Well, what we have decided to do, because, you know, A Reason to Rush really is about the past entertainers, to keep them alive, to keep their story, to tell their story. But we also thought it fitting to honor those that continue the legacy. You know, that's very important. This year, you know, my grandmother, Rebecca Oliver Chipman, and Maureen Duvalier were one of the vanguards with women in Junkanoo. You know, and I always tell the story, my grandmother is sitting down and she's watching Junkanoo on television and she's seeing the choreographed dancers go by and she laugh. And I said, Mommy, what happened? She said, boy, it's amazing, eh? They out there dancing now, but they used to call us everything in the book. So they were the pioneers in representing us women out there in our culture. And this year we decided to honor those women who are still doing that today.
Nice.
You know, and for us, women of that dance or Junkanooers, like Dr. Ann Higgins, mm-hmm. you know, she is a dancer.
Yes.
And this a woman is strong in her faith and also strong in Junkanoo,
yes.
and what it represents to our people, and they do great works with the community. People like her, people like Karen Pinder, who's a leader and a choreographer for the Junkanoo group. So Maltese Davis, people like her who continue to do our cultural events and teach cultural dances. And of course, Nuri, this is notwithstanding our own, we know in our family, we have all of that. We have Mitzi,
yes.
you know, we have my mom. But it's outside of the Chipman family that we recognize these people.
And thank you for
that. Yeah, and we want to show that. It's not about a competition for us, as our family know what we have done and contributed, but it's about honoring all of us that embrace our Bahamianism, mm-hmm. you know, and continue to push that forward. So in that, we honor these people and thank them for continuing the legacy. We also have people like the children of past entertainers, like Tony Seymour.
Okay.
You know, his father, Tony Seymour Sr., was mm-hmm. one of the renowned, you know, entertainers.
And Junior is taking
that's the, right, yeah. and he is on the helm. You have Aaliyah Cawley. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that. Her mother was Shalimar, the fire dancer.
Really?
That's right. You know, we have Nita, mm-hmm. you know, Nita Ellis, carrying on for her father, Count Bernardino. Oh,
nice.
So you have a lot of people that we also have to acknowledge that these people are continuing the legacy. And sometimes as women, especially women in entertainment, that's important to me mm-hmm. because it's not always been something you celebrate. Mm-hmm. You know, like my grandmother said, we were ridiculed and still is today. If you are a girl dancing, you're considered, you know, wayward. You weren't considered that this is a part of your culture and this is what we do. So for women in entertainment, it's very important for me to honor them, to recognize them, because usually it's not done. So you have persons like that. This year, our special honoree goes to Mr. Howard Bethel posthumously because he has passed. And it's unfortunate because he was supposed to be our special honoree in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So we did his interview and everything. And of course, COVID happened and we couldn't. And he has since passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that we'll continue with his tribute. We will have a performance out there that night by his students, his former students,
nice.
Which we are very excited about. And we will also have a performance by a Chipman who was also mentored by Howard Bethel, mm-hmm. which is John Chipman's Mitzi's son.
Okay.
That's the baby. So we are excited about what we're going to see and what we're going to do. And Mitzi also got a creative idea in terms of anyone who had a family member was an entertainer, come on out. Tell us their story. We're going to be walking around. Tell us their names, because sometimes you don't know. And that's what has happened with the entertainers. You don't know. They're one hit and they're this, and we knew it back then, but we don't remember them.
So remind us on the date and the time and everything now. Okay. So this is Wednesday.
Right. Wednesday, October 5th.
Okay.
And it falls on a Wednesday, guys. Uh-huh. It's not on the weekend. It's important you know that it is this Wednesday. It will be held on the Chipman Estate, which is across from Fish Fry, right there on the main corner where you see my great-grandfather's home, the remnants of it sitting back in the yard. It will be right there. The stage will be set up and ready to go early. You'll be hearing Bahamian music. So as you pass by, look, come and join us maybe after work. We'll be there from 4 to 9. Junk Canoe Rush Out will be coming through by Colors. We are thankful because, you know, Chris Justillian. Mm-hmm. Actually, our special honoree, Mr. Howard Bethel, was one of the co-founders of Colors. Mm-hmm. So that is great that they're coming through to represent him. But they have also been really tremendous in terms of support, because they were there to celebrate with my grandfather. Had a reason to rush before, and he was so excited about that, to see the turnout.
And I see I have a caller here. Let me patch the caller through.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Can you hear me?
A pleasure. Good morning, sir. Ms. Lurie.
Hey, how you doing?
And I saw Lady Chippins in there.
Hello, good morning.
The Sparky. Hey. Oh, Mitzi in there, too?
Yeah, you're right here, Sparky.
Hey, darling, how you doing? Well, okay. And would you believe you know what I'm looking at right now? I look at that Pops right there in that coffin, that green outfit, and that's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got it right in my hand right now. But look at that. It's a pity this man who hosted the show too young, hey. So I understand all them things would be no about, hey. You got to give him some history. They must cut you off too, really. But anyway, but you know, that woman, they used to be all the camaraderie at a stage.
Yeah.
Mr. Dury, you know anything about that? You have middle camaraderie ever?
No, but I read the history books.
Oh, you read. Oh, you was in there clapping and dancing while Mitzi them was up there dancing the foreign dancers and everything.
No, but
the camaraderie theater was the place to go.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be a muck to get in there or have some money to even get over PI. Because PI traffic line was over PI and you're on one bridge.
But
that bridge was full all every night going over there, you know. Every night.
Sparky.
But what I'm saying is, before I know, I got to go quick.
Yeah.
I remember Mr. Dury, the last time I talked to Chippy, I'd call him and he'd say, I said, Chippy, I got a big Cuban cigar for you. He said, Sparky, make that thing. And I go down there and he's laying in the bed and he'd say, so one of y'all children come light this thing? He smoked the cigar. He'd say, now, Sparky, that's what you call a real Cuban cigar. He's laying in the bed. We can see it, but he all the way out, you know. He said, you see, just all I wanted now, somebody to bring me one real cigar.
Okay, Sparky, let's promote this event. Thank you very much for calling. Go ahead again.
But thank you for that story, because it is stories like this that people have spoken to me about. And it's so good when you can hear everyone has a story but my grandfather. Some they can tell, some they can't, some they can't. But what you hear is the love and the passion for the people that they felt for my grandfather. He was so giving, and my grandmother. You know, people talk about coming in my grandparents' yard and, you know, if they were hungry, they ate. If they needed clothes, they were clothed. So when we hear these stories about the contribution that my grandparents have made, we, the Chipman family, we are obligated to continue that because it is who we are. It is who our grandparents have taught us to be. It is who we as Bahamians know them to be. And so we are thankful and grateful that we can give back to the community. And if I didn't say it, Nuri, this event is free. All of it is free.
You mean free to come to the event?
Free to come to the event. We are blessed and fortunate because the entertainers themselves, they perform for us as a give back to the community, as a thank you for the relationship that they have had with the Shipman family all of these years. Many who have been around with my grandfather, John Chippy Shipman, was able to touch him and be around him. So they come and they perform just out of the love for the vision of A Reason to Rush. And I must say thank you so much to those entertainers who come year after year. Like I said, Tony Seymour, we've had Veronica Bishop, Nita Ellis. You know, we are thankful. And this year, I am, you know, ecstatic to announce that we're going to be having a young Bahamian. And this is what I'm talking about when I say, you know, the succession or the continuation of Bahamian culture and Bahamianism. We're going to have a singer by the name, I mean, his name speaks Bahamian. You know, his songs is Bahamian. I mean, it's just raw and I love it. Bahamian Trey. Bahamian Trey will be coming through. Oh, yeah. He is amazing to me. And, you know, as we have, you know, Tony Seymour, those. And now we have a young generation who's holding on to Bahamian. Mm-hmm. You know, we could be anywhere. He could do a rap or this and that, but it's how he cultivate our culture in his sound mm-hmm. that is so important. And that's what we want to encourage, you know?
So this Wednesday, today is Monday, Tuesday. That's Wednesday.
This Wednesday, middle of the week.
It's going to be at the old Shipman Estate.
That's right.
Which is on West Bay Street.
That's right.
Basically and technically across from the fish fry.
Right.
Entrance is free. I don't got to pay for nothing.
Nothing.
Only when I get anyone drinking and food, right. I can pay for that.
Then you got to pay for that.
But in terms of the entertainment.
All the entertainment is free. It's free.
I can bring the whole family.
We want that. We want you to bring the family, bring the children. We have it early enough. The culture show will start like 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it will run but for an hour and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we got to be coming through. Colors will be coming through with the John Canoe.
Mm-hmm.
But bring your children. Just come on out, guys. Just come and enjoy. And I must say, Nuria, I got to say thank you to people who has been with us from the beginning, people like who have seen the vision, the Guardian, who mm-hmm. continues to work with us to promote the event. We have 700 Spirits, or Kalik. They have been with us. Restaurant Bahamas has been with us. And I must say thank you to the movie group who always come and set up our stage and give us a, you know, beautiful setup. And, of course, my cousin DJ Smiley, who does all the sound system and the music for the event. So we couldn't do it without all these people contributing. And the Shipman family, we have members who will donate the water or mm-hmm. the soda or whatever it is that we need. Our family come together and we make sure that this event is a great event to remember.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I just want the public to know, because sometimes when we're asked to do something, especially in the government settings, they will say, oh, the F&M or the PLP. I just want this country to know that the Shipmans is not F&M or PLP when it comes to our culture.
Yes.
We love this country and we love our culture. We have no political affiliation when it comes to being Bahamian. Mm-hmm. So I just want to get that clear. We are Bahamian and we love this country. We love this culture more than anything else. So just come out and enjoy us. We're going to give you a show that you will not forget. Okay?
Excellent. That's this Wednesday. Thank you very much, Fontella and Missy, for coming up. And again, Wednesday. And what time does the event start?
Well, event starts from 4 to
9. 4 p.m. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, you'll be looking forward to seeing our crowd probably after 5 because everybody's getting off from work.
Driving up and down.
But we'll be ready to go, music blasting, everything. 4 o'clock live will be music and everything. You can't miss it.
And all the food and the folks and the fun will be there.
All the food will be there, and you'll see the hats moving through, like Chippy in the straw hats, to let him be represented. Mm-hmm. We'll be there. Shipmans will be there live and in charge.
Oh, thank you very much. And now we're going to take our first commercial break, and I enjoyed you. I mean, I definitely will be out there Wednesday. Wednesday out on the Shipman grounds on West Bay Street. It's starting at 4 o'clock, and it's going to be 4 until 9. We have an honorary celebration of some persons there, and then they're going to tell the history and then have all kind of live entertainment. So, and it's free.
free.
I ain't got to pay for nothing. Nothing. Okay. Has been Guardian Radio AM. I'll be right back after a short break.
Thank you so much.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. And this is C.A. Nuri, and we're going to have that discussion about Abaco. And again, I have my guest host, Ian Munnings, who will give his opinion on what's happening. I saw the MP. I'm not sure if you saw the article where the MP is saying that this shanty town thing is getting out of control, right? And I'm seeing that all of the MPs are up in arms and saying, complaining about what is happening in Abaco. And I said, but you are the MP. You can make change, you know? I want to know what exactly are the MPs doing? What you're lobbying, you know? So it seems as if they're asking permission, right, on what is happening. But I was told, I'm not sure if you know, Ian, that Abaco is booming. Everybody is employed in Abaco right now. They're saying that it's about at least 90% employment on the island of Abaco now. Who wants to work? We can find jobs, right? The only problem they have right now is housing, right? That there's so much people are there. The people from Nassau and Grand Bahama are there working, whatever it is. And they are having issues with housing, but they make and manage. But I want to know, have you heard anything about the injunction? Because you know what vexed me, actually, Ian? I heard when they set a date for the Adrian Gibson case. And I said, I don't believe these people have this case tried and finished with, and they ain't gonna finish this thing with Abaco and the injunction, you know? So I'm concerned and I'm vexed and I want to know, and I like jabbing your party. What the PLP doing in Abaco? What's happening in Abaco besides they get a couple of houses there?
There are certain things that should take priority. I think the injunction is something that has been vexing for some time. I think that
it's been like 2 years.
Yeah, it's been too long. It's literally been too long. I heard a minister make a remark in terms of he's saying that if persons know that there are illegal persons being building and they are there, they need to report it to the
They have a police force in Abaco.
They said they need to report it. Don't call me. I'm saying what I've heard on social media. They said that they need to report it.
See, they're always blaming authority. Us. Why are they always blaming us? Putting responsibility and burden on us when they too can see the houses being built,
but
they took pictures of the farm to say how many houses there.
It's simple, CA. The law states what it is, and if we go back to what the law states and follow the mandate of those things, then we shouldn't have a problem. The reality is, if these people are building illegally, you've already said what it is. It's illegal. Then that is a matter of national security. The minister responsible for national security then should.
But he's saying nothing.
He should.
I mean, he's defending police officers this week.
I'm saying he should.
But at this present time, we see the expansion of the farm. We see it. Anyone who zoom and take pictures can see the expansion of the farm.
You have to address the matter.
When you complain, because Abaconians and the nation as a whole has been complaining, right? And you hear that there's a committee is going to be formed in order to investigate if they should do anything about the illegal building of these.
I think that there are certain people that are complaining. The reality is,
so it's not all behemoths complaining.
Not all. Not in Abaco. Not in Abaco.
So some people are happy that the
not in Abaco.
I'm listening,
because a lot of those lands that some of those people are occupying are private land.
But it's still illegal to build a shanty town on a private land.
And in Abaco, they referred to those Haitians that were working illegally or working there otherwise would have been considered their Haitian.
But see, I remember when the last administration was in and they did an inventory, for lack of better words, a census, to find out if these people, the majority of those people who's living in the mud and the pigeon pee at the time, right, and by extension the farm, who were they? They found out that these weren't undocumented. I see you use the word illegal. These are not illegal immigrants. These are not undocumented immigrants. These are people who have a right to be in the Bahamas. Either they have a work permit or a spousal permit, or they what some people might call Bahamian in waiting. Not being here, born here in the Bahamas, past the age of 18, never applied or have applied and waiting on a response. But
the law is simple. It says to what it is. The law states that if you were born here and your parents were illegal of Haitian descent, that means that you were not stateless. That means that...
No. I didn't mention anything but stateless.
But they're here.
No, you just adding all kind of
things. No, they're here.
But you say stateless. I didn't call anyone stateless.
You said they were here.
I wonder why you even mentioned the word stateless.
Do they have documentation?
But they don't have documentation doesn't mean they're stateless.
No.
They have a right to be here. That's what I said. They have a right to be...
What gives them the right to be here?
The government. That's why they say they have a right to
so
be here.
So the government says that they're okay to be here.
Yes. Say. If they weren't okay, they would have been deported.
Why can you say that?
And they're not being deported.
So how is the conversation of illegal person?
See, we got to understand. These people were born in the Bahamas and have whatever rights and
apply at 18.
Yeah, but see, they have rights.
No, they said you have to go back to the origin of where your mother's from and apply.
Now you understand, right? The right to apply is to be citizenship. I did not say they won't become citizen, and I don't think we should give all of them citizenship. See, the right to apply to be citizen. Now, let's say I don't want them to be citizen. So that right to apply narrative, you don't got to mention. They have a right to be here. To whatever other issue in terms of permanent residency.
Do they have a passport?
I don't know. They may have it.
These are questions that
immigration issue. That's an immigration issue.
But it goes back to the law if you started with immigration.
And my point is, who is it to enforce the law?
The immigration.
Yes. And the immigration decide not to enforce the law, or they said they decide to tarry in enforcing the law, then that's where the issue is.
Then it becomes a matter of national security.
And then you mentioned the Minister of National Security, yes, and the urgency. If it was urgent, I believe that the Minister of National Security, being a lawyer in QC, would have appealed to the judge that this needs to be dealt with forthwith. This is not urgency. It's a whole year they've been here, no. And every day, there are new structures being built.
Is there complacency happening?
I don't know if there's complacency, but they won't get A grade for being in the air. But I see I have a caller here. I'll patch the caller through. Because I am concerned about Abaco, and I want Abaconians, people who are attached to Abaco, to call in and tell me what on earth is happening in Abaco. But go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Yuri, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
And good morning to your host.
Good morning, sir.
You're saying the Ministry of Works has an obligation under the principles of guidance of their inspectors. Yuri, if I go get a hold on my property right now without legal authorization from the inspectors or what have you, they will knock down my house.
Immediately.
Immediately. And take me to court immediately. I'll be wasting my man who in court now. We don't even have to pay a
fine. But Punkinito, if you get an injunction against the government from knocking down your addition to your house, can they knock it down?
I don't. I mean, that injunction means stop, right?
Yeah, I'm judging being stopped from knocking it down, yes.
But how long did injunction board to be for?
See, that's where I am concerned. It can't be injunction for life.
Where's it? Where does eminent domain take place?
Exactly. So we need to enforce the law and stop playing with
It's in the books. It's on the books.
And when you say we, who do you mean?
The regulatory board, the regulatory persons.
The people who are in charge of protecting us.
And who is that?
Oh, that's the government, eh?
So you're saying that the government must do something then? That's what you're saying. You need to go straight to the point and say the word.
That ministry will come after Newry and Paul Candida.
Town planning.
That same ministry, that same inspector, need to stop their foot and then reinforce the law. And immigration.
So who do I complain to? Because I all the way in Nassau, Punkinita, right?
Uh-huh.
And I vex seeing what has happened in Abaco. I don't think the people in Abaco vex. I think the people in Abaco are accepting of what has happened because they need the Haitian labor. And there's people in Nassau and Grand Bahama who are vexed and complaining. I think people in Abaco want us to stay out of their business. And like Ian said earlier, that's the Haitian. And we want to force them off their land. That's private land.
And I ain't that way scared there, basically, because Abaco is my island. All the islands are my island.
You go Abaco on those Conky Joe people land.
I own several other islands in the sun.
Well, okay.
I'm a sovereign. And of course, I'm a capital boy.
Don't come to Acklands with that type of talk, because I have my generation property there.
Well, you know you ain't going to go to Long Island. You ain't going to go to Long Island with that.
No. So I hear Punkin, but I don't believe you're right. I don't believe you're right. But see, I am concerned. The people in Abaco are saying that things are good there in terms of business.
See, you have to bear in mind and take into account that one-third of our GDP derives from Abaconians, from the Abaconians.
Mm-hmm.
That's one-third. That's a big chunk.
That's a big chunk. I listen to you.
And any government that realized that the amount of cash flow that Abaco brings, I would want the place to be up and running like yesterday.
But it is up and running.
No, I mean yesterday.
It's up and running with Haitian labor. This is why the people in Abaco are concerned. Why your Nassau people inside their business and they are trying to get back on their feet. And this is why there's a frustration, you know? And that's why hearing the MP saying saying one thing, but this is completely contrary to what the people in Abaco said.
I'm thinking that there is a time where things were so good in our country that the need to see something else happening wasn't existing. We didn't see it. Now that persons now are in a position where things aren't so good, they have to see little things now to say that us versus them.
Okay. I see I have another caller there. Let me see if I got into this. Caller, can you hear me? I hope I didn't hang him up. Learn how to use this. Phone. Can you hear me, caller? Kermit, leave me out here to touch this phone and whatever. I'll talk until Kermit come back, because I'm pressing these buttons and it ain't working. But yeah, I'm concerned. I am concerned about what we think is happening in Abaco versus to what is the real cause. But yeah, I see. I have a number of calls, and I'm going to work on that now because it's not going through.
See, I think we have an enforcement problem. The law states what it states.
Yeah,
it's just simple. It's straight across the board. The immigration officers were to, if they were called to a particular area, their job is to go there and to inspect.
Kermit, pass the caller through. I've been pressing all these buttons and none of them don't work for me. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, buddy. How are you doing?
How you doing? Well.
Hey, Kermit. How are you doing, my brother?
Yeah, Kermit.
Let me tell you what's one of the best in this country, Brother Louis. See, nothing can change in this country until the Moors could die out and get out of the way. See, God and place them. Don't care what they do. They ain't getting a blessing. It's a Joshua, see? I work in the private sector. If I do something wrong, I get fired. See, government people know they ain't get fired like that. So what needs to happen is that the people just have some autonomy and power. Start off with the Minister of National Security. Get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who in charge of immigration, get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
If the minister ain't doing his job, see, and that's why I don't like people to be appointed, you know. The minister of should not be appointed because he threatens relation to the prime minister.
And I know you have Abaco connections from previous calls,
but
right?
I got a brother in Dundas Town. I never swing city because I had some other brothers. Some of them was immigration. 80% of my family are civil servants. And every island they go to, I used to go.
Let me ask you this.
And I know Abaco quite well.
Let me ask you this.
The fact of the matter is, where there's no law in the land. See, the Bahamas, see, and when people call this country, you always get mad at people like me, you know.
Yeah.
This is what place, the coast and country, I don't listen to none of these people, you know.
But I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this. Sorry, no, stop right there. I want to ask you this.
Sorry.
Do you believe the Minister of Immigration is doing a good job at this present time?
No, he's not doing a good job.
And why are people not competing?
Because many people, see, it's something called cheap labor
mm-hmm.
in this country. See, the kind of work I do, I was paying people good money a long time ago. I pay people what they value. We send our children to school and universities to come back. They can say, oh, they overqualified or they don't pay them this kind of money. Why do you think they ain't coming back home? Huh? We cannot let the Bible tell you stick to your race, you know. Plenty people don't know the means of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious thing. But see, like I said, the past of people done gone, you know. Mm-hmm. This young generation, they're getting tired and they say to people, but break down the wall. That's nonsense. Leave the people alone. Be inside the land, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
Each person inside the acre land, which I lead. And all the people who like to sell, make sure you put in constitution that they can't sell you in hell with that man. I'm trying to take my call, my
friend. I appreciate it. I have another call there. Carmen Pastor called through. But I can read this text. The call hang up. That's what they're calling. But I read this text right now, right? It says, CA, you sound condescending and very cynical. Not concerned about Abaco and Abaconians. It doesn't seem sincere. And you won't let your guests finish a sentence. Are you an organic Bahamian? I'm not sure what an organic Bahamian is, but I'm definitely not that. I may be called a true Bahamian. But definitely not an organic Bahamian. And I'm not cynical. I'm asking a question on whether Abaco people are happy with what's happening right now. Because they're not calling. They're not complaining.
But it's not a matter of whether or not they're happy.
It's about that.
It's not a matter of not if they're happy or not. It's a matter of national security. It's a matter of Bahamian people becoming first in our country. And that's across the board. That's from an entrepreneurship. That's from business owning. That's from everything, every aspect you could probably imagine.
So I'll ask you this question, because it's similar to what
we
I asked.
We should be third class citizens in our own home.
Similar to what I asked the last caller. You say it's an issue of national security.
Yes.
My question to you is, for this Abaco issue, is the Minister of National Security doing a good job?
We don't just need the Minister of National Security. We need the Minister of National Security. We need the immigration.
But we don't deal with the immigration.
We need the town planning also to be involved, because you can't just build structures in the country that we live in called the Bahamas. We have restrictions. We have laws.
So you believe the Minister of National Security is doing a good job?
If I believe?
That's what I'm asking you.
I'm saying just do your job.
So you're saying that he needs to do his job?
I say do your job. Okay. That's my opinion. Just do your job.
Do your job. You don't go on record of not. Okay, I see that.
It isn't a matter of me saying whether or not he's doing his job. The people have a problem,
mm-hmm.
and this is the issue. They said this is an issue of national security. Mm-hmm. You are the national security minister. So it's your duty, you're bound by, to go there and deal with the situation. If there is a situation that said that things are happening illegal.
Say, Mr. Munro, bound by. Hey, Kermit, I have another call there. Pastor, call.
He's bound by duty.
He said bound by duty. Go ahead, then. Go ahead, caller.
Golly, David is talking away, along with you and your guest, Nuri.
Go ahead, Bremen. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you. We need justice, law, and order in this country of Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Nuri, the brother in which speaking to you, okay, from Abaco or pertaining to Abaco, he are right. You see, this country are filled with apathy within the law. And the law system, okay? So when you're going to ask, when you're going to try to put a guy in a compromising position, well, the minister and whosoever, you yourself know that they are filled with apathy. They are unconcerned with what's happening in their country, in this country. They're into themselves. And you should stop trying to take up for people what does illegal stuff in this country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bremen. And Nassau people, I always say Nassau people always call in and complain, right? And we are concerned about law and order. And I don't know if it's necessarily that the family islands are concerned. Because the issue in Abaco has been duplicated. It's now in Exuma. It's now in Luthra. Shanty towns popping up. The same type of issues with poverty and crime is popping up. And I don't see that outrage, that cry of concern. And when I flippantly talk about the there's no outrage and cry of concern, people get vexed.
I have a saying, be careful of the pebble that we place into the water, because we do not know where the ripple effect will land. What we start, eventually, that'll spiral into something greater. In the country that we live in, we live a certain lifestyle. The Bahamians are privy to certain things. Most part, we are law-abiding citizens.
Now, we have a lot of persons that infiltrated our country, whether that be from being in America and being sent back to the Bahamas saying that they're Bahamians and they are Haitian and Bahamian, American, whatever descent. They're coming back whatever with lifestyles they learned in America, and they're bringing it home to our Little Rock. You have Abaconians that are in Abaco, and when those boats coming in, they're harboring those persons, and they're migrating and integrating into that those areas. These are issues where we, as a people, need to then address this issue, because the boats ain't stop coming. So where these people that are coming on these boats are hiding? Where they if they ain't leaving and they're here, where are they? This is an issue for all Bahamians, not just some. We have to be careful of that pebble that we place into the water, you know. Because if you're illegal and I hiring you as a Bahamian, then I'm just as equally as guilty as you.
So I ask you this. And I see we hopping on the farm issue in terms of the shanty towns being built and expanded. And not necessarily, but the economy of Abaco and the situations going on there, whether things are getting better. I see they're building houses like
crazy. Well, Abaco is always better. Abaco have a lot of expats that are living in Abaco, a lot of billionaires and persons that coming from foreign, I mean, bringing foreign currency into the country. They accounted for 1/3 prior, even from Dorian. These people came with their money and said, hey, we wanted to rebuild Abaco like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the red tape and the political movements and things that are happening, they were slow moving. But the reality is, Abaco has always been a place to defend it for itself.
Those are the people
they wanted to make Abaco Canada or be independent.
These are the people who's hiring the immigrants. I ain't sure if I like them like that, but I digress. I still have another caller here. Go ahead, Kirby. Put that caller through. How you doing, caller? Can you hear me, caller?
Good morning, Mr. Louis.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning to Louis.
Morning.
That's not Luby, that's Ian today.
You know, Luby, you said something which is very frightening for me. You said that them against us, right? And I know you did. I remember you reference to.
This isn't Luby today. This isn't Luby. This is Ian.
Well, that isn't Luby. I'm sorry. He sounded like Luby, but he sounded like Arsenio. So he's a Bahamian.
Right.
And so the question is, Graham opened up a constitutional conundrum, right?
But No. He didn't open up no constitution conundrum.
Yeah, hold on. I knew about that before he even mentioned it. Because
No. You know, be 52. You know, you sensible. You come from in the city where I come from.
I'm saying
that what he said makes no sense. And I warned.
So what you said about Graham's here?
Graham
makes no sense.
Graham
makes no sense.
Let me make 52 finish his point.
Okay.
Sorry about that, 52.
Then the question then becomes, right? When these people, the migrants, claim Bahamian citizenship, they go to immigration and they granted Bahamian status, they supposed to renounce their Haitian citizenship? I mean, because I know the states does it. That's what I'm saying. So you have to renounce your country of origin.
Yes.
So then the problem, the burden will lie on us. And so what happens is, I know Michelle is up this constitutional thing every Monday, but maybe someone should come and clear it up. But
let me clear it up. You ask me a question and I'll answer you. Because I want you to talk sense. Okay, first of all, our constitution is supreme. You agree with that?
Yeah, well, of course. Our constitution
trumps everyone else's constitution when it deals with the Bahamas.
Okay.
Now, you saying that Mr. Weatherford brought up an issue.
Not only him, you know.
Hold on. I responded to you now. Yeah. He brought up an issue with someone else's country's constitution. I don't want to hear about their constitution because ours trumped theirs. Only our constitution matter. That means all the argument he was making makes no sense because only our constitution matter. Don't you agree? Only our constitution matter.
Yes, it should.
So don't bring up those other countries' constitution.
I'd like to make a comment concerning the situation in Abaco, right? You know, we all are seeking a better life, so that's no excuse. But the thing is, we have allowed this particular migrant group to have a parallel society, somewhat. And so you see where they had their own generators, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in every country, it is well known that immigration more or less breeds illegal activity. And so I don't know why the lack of attention to the cascade of events that follows these type of paradigms that they're allowing to filter. You had people talking about the work permits and the schisms in the law. I mean, the partiality in dispensing the law on the building codes, et cetera, et cetera. And this is very embarrassing for the Bahamian people. So I don't know what the government is going to do about it. They're sitting and talking now for the past 50 years. Have a good day.
Thank you for 52. I want to make a correction that you said immigration breeds criminality. Immigration does not breed criminality. We know that the Bahamians have been immigrating around the world and have them. You don't do criminality. No, so and you might can make the argument and tie poverty breeds criminality.
Poverty does.
And I been me you and I being poor all our life.
Oh yeah, I grew up in the inner city.
We never did no crime.
Growing up in the city, you know, there are some people that are gonna get in some activities.
Might done with us.
You know what I'm saying? There are some people that are gonna get into some things and then some people that are not. They're not.
So we can't even use that excuse that poverty breeds criminality. So I wanted to correct that misnomer and so we don't see it again because it's not necessarily true. But I see I have 2 minutes and I'm going to leave that 2 minutes to you, Ian, right? What should be happening in Abaco?
There are a lot of vexing things that are happening in our country, CA. I think that we have to handle them one issue at a time. I think our problem is when we try to bite on to certain things and there's so many other things that's coming up, we never really correct the first issue that we had in our country. So the reality, if we're going to focus on the situation with the injunction, I think that should be ahead of even for the Minister of National Security. He needs to understand that in the position that he is bound to, there are some issues that are tackling the country that we live in. Like you said, it's not just face to Abaco, it's in Exuma, it's in Eleuthera, it's in these various places. So it's his duty to get the regulatory board together, whether it be immigration, town planning, and they exercise the right to go into these places and find out just who legal, who illegal, and what's been going on. And let's start to deal with it from that aspect.
I agree. This last text, have you responded to that too? Say, why doesn't immigration go in and put all these people on temporary permits, get the money in the treasury and arrest them and send them home? See, this is where some of our people at. It doesn't make sense. Right? But I wanted to read that text and put it on the record. But it's now 12 o'clock. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. My name is C.A. Nuri. My guest host today was Ian Munnings. And we'll be back tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.